This year is sponsored Le'ilei Nishmas Hinda Rivka Bat Rav Avram.
We're up to Simin Lamed Beis, Seif Lamed Gimel. Yasa Hashurash Shavos. When writing the lines of the tefillin, they should be justified. I believe is the word in English, right? Ending the lines justified. Shaloi Tehei Achas Nechneses V'Achas Yetzes. You shouldn't have a situation where one line goes a little further than the other, right? I think in standard word documents, you can have it set up that the lines are all uniform or otherwise. So the Mechaber is saying the lines should end and begin uniformly. Ulefachos, and at least somebody who's not talented enough to have everything ending evenly, Yizar Shalai Yichtav Gimel Oisiyas Chutz L'Shita. At the very least, you should try and ensure that there's not three letters going out of the line. V'im kosvam, but if somebody is unable to keep to this, loy pasal. In other words, even if he has three or four letters going out of the line, it will not pasal the tefillin. So again, the idea is a person should try his best to make them as nice and as uniform as possible. If somebody messes up, it will not pasal the tefillin. Lamedalit, Beis Oisius Shehem Teva Achas. If you have a two-letter word like boy, Beis Vav, or Im, Aleph Mem, right? Or any S, Aleph Saf, right? So this is two letters which are one word, La Yichtav Chutz Lishita. One should not write out of the line. So even though we said a moment ago that if you have three letters going out of the line, it's not going to be problematic, but nonetheless, if it's an entire word, one should try not to have it out of the line. Mishnah Berurah says that if someone has a three-letter word, like oisam, aleph, saf, mem, so then it would be mutter to have two of the three letters outside of the line. Again, a person ideally should try to have no letters out of the line, but we're talking b'di'evit, all of these halachas are not going to be ma'akiv. Lamed hey, oisi is Hashem, tzarech shiyu kulam b'toy chadaf, mehem klal. Now, when you're dealing with Hashem, then it's more chamor. Whereas in all the previous halachas, right, we just said that it's not ma'akev if somebody messes up. By Hashem, there are a number of achrenim that hold that it could be ma'akev. It could actually passel the stam if parts of the Shem Hashem go out of the line. And the Mishnah Berurah brings a machlekes about this. He's not really machriya, although he seems to be more on the machmir side. So a person certainly should be medaktik and mahader and makbid not to have parts of Hashem Hashem going outside of the line. There are etzes, by the way, if let's say it's on the second line and the Hashem Hashem goes out of the line. So just make all future lines justified with the Hashem Hashem. Just adjust the columns. Or in a Sefer Torah, let's say someone has part of Hashem Hashem going out of a line, so all the lines above it, right, you could just schlep the, by a Sefer Torah, there's no din of Kisidron, so a person could schlep the Isis a little bit further to try and make them even to the Hashem Hashem. So a person should try and play around with the organization of the column to try and avoid this problem of having Shemus going out of the line. We're now up to Sif Lamed Vav. Sif Lamed Vav is extremely complicated halacha. We'll do our best to try and get through it as quickly as possible. Yasa kol parsha yaseh psuchos chutz mi parsha achreina haksuva batera shehi v'hayam shamaya sheyasena stuma v'imshina posel. What this means is as follows. If you look in a Sefer Torah, you'll see in a Chumash, I'm sorry, you'll see that scattered throughout the Chumash, there are random peis and samachs, right? Those peis and samachs stand for psucha and stuma. There's parashias psuchas and parashias stumas. What that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu was up getting the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every once in a while they had to take a break. When they took a break, so that's what we would call a paragraph. It's a new section. There are different types of paragraphs. There are parashias psuchas, which means that it's a whole new inyan. And then there's a parasha stuma, which means that although it's a new paragraph, it's somewhat connected to the previous parasha. So the arrangement of the paragraphs varies based on whether it's a psucha or a stuma. Okay? There are a number of ways to arrange a psucha. There are a number of ways to arrange a stuma. And there's a tremendous machlekes between the Rambam and the Rush of what those ways are, how one can arrange a psucha and a stuma. To make a very long story short, in the Sefer Torah, there's a way that you can make a psucha and a stuma that's kosher according to the Rambam and the Rush. However, in Tefillin, since each of the four parashiyos is on its own column, it's impossible, just trust me on this, it's impossible to arrange the fourth parasha in a way that's good according to the Rambam and the Rush. So that's the subject of our discussion over here. So with that brief hakdama in mind, let's have a look at this again. Yasa kol parashiyos psuchos, you should make all the parashiyos of the Tefillin psuchos, chutz mi parasha achreina, except for the fourth parasha, haksuva batayra, shehi v'hayim shamaya, sheyasena stuma. So kaddish v'hayim kiviacha shema are psuchos. The fourth parasha v'hayim shamaya should be a stuma. The imshina, if somebody made the stuma as a psucha instead of a stuma, posel, it's not going to be kosher. It's going to be posel. Says the Rama, v'yesh machshirim b'kulam psuchos. There are rishonim that are mekel if all four parashiyos are psuchos. And in our Ashkenazi lands, the minig is to make the fourth parasha Vayim Shamaya at the beginning of the line, Keshara Parashis, which means that it's a psucha as well. So the Rama says that the minig was, in his time, to make the fourth parasha as a psucha as well, which is Kulan Psuchas. Lamaisa, the Achrayim say that this minig doesn't get off the ground, and one cannot be noyeg like this minig, and the Levush, who was a Talmud of the Rama, says that he would be oiker this minig, and Lamaisa, the minig was neakar. There is no such minig already for a few hundred years. We are all noyeg, Sephardim and Ashkenazim today, like the Mechaber, that the first three parashiyos are psuchas, and the fourth parasha is a stuma. V'lachein, since we're making the fourth parasha a stuma, how do you go about doing that? One starts the, each of the first three parashiyos at the beginning of the line. And at the end of the first two parashiyos, one leaves a space of nine letters. The reason for the nine letters is because it's brought down that the amount of space necessary to create a new paragraph is nine letters worth of blank space. So if you have between two paragraphs nine letters worth of blank space, excuse me, that creates a new parasha. How that space is set up is what's going to make it a psucha or a stuma. But the requisite shear is nine letters. So you have, to have the first three parashiyos as a psucha, the Mechaber is telling us you're going to start Kaddish, V'hayaki V'yacha, and Shema at the beginning of the line. At the end of Kaddish and at the end of V'hayaki V'yacha, you're going to have nine blank letters worth of space. U'parashas, u'besoif Shema, at the end of the third parasha, ein meinichen chalak, you don't have to leave anything blank at all. You can have the word, you can have a visharecha going until the end of the line. And if you are going to leave a little bit of space at the end of Shema, make sure, make sure that it's less than nine letters worth of space. Because if it's less than nine letters worth of space, it's like there's no space there. Okay? Because nine letters worth of space creates a new paragraph. If I have less than nine letters worth of space, so it's like there's nothing there. So it's more or less the same as if you wrote till the end of the line. So l'chatchila, you should write till the end of the line, but if you didn't write till the end of the line, as long as you have less than nine letters worth of space, that's perfectly fine. Now, unlike the first three parashiyos, which started at the beginning of the line, v'hayam shamaya will start in the middle of the line. And you leave nine letters worth of blank space before V'haya im Shamaya, v'nimtza, and what's going to come out is Sheshloishas Parshias Heim Psuchais, Kaddish, V'haya Ki V'yacha and Shema are going to be Psuchais, Bein Laha Rambam, Bein Laha Rosh, because that's possible to create a Psucha, which is good according to the Rambam and the Rosh, even if each Parsha starts on its own column, is doable. So that's what we're going to do, because we always try and satisfy both opinions if possible. Parasha Acharina, Histuma Lidas HaRambam, and the fourth parasha is going to be a stuma according to the Rambam. Aye, what about the Rush? Tough luck. You're not going to be Yaitza according to the Rush. Einachanami. We're put in a position where we have to choose between the Rambam and the Rush, and all the Rishonim say that the Halacha is like the Rambam. So since all the Rishonim agree that the Halacha is like the Rambam, and we're in a situation where we have to choose one or the other, so we're just going to make the tefillin like the Rambam. It's impossible to go further without very, very briefly just mentioning the following point, that there is a Taz, which is based on a Marshal, where he has an Eitzah to be Yaitzei, both the Rambam and the Rush, even in tefillin, even though they're on different columns. And what he says is that you leave less than 9 letters worth of space at the end of Shema, you leave less than 9 letters worth of space at the beginning of Vahayam Shemaya, and together they equal more than 9 letters worth of space, and there, by doing that, one achieves a Parsha Stuma, which is kosher, according to both the Rambam and the Rush. That's the Eitz of the Taz. The Achreinim say that the Minig of all Ashkenazim is like the Taz. That's the Maisa today, what the very, very great majority of Ashkenazim do, Ad Hayayim Hazeh, the Minig is like the Taz. It's a tremendous controversy, because the Sfaradim are very unhappy with this. Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Tzion Avishol both want to say that it would be a shayla of a bracha levatola for a Sfaradi to make a bracha on Ashkenazi tefillin. And we can give a 2.5-hour shiur on this subject, which I guess we can't do now, but you should just be aware that this is an extremely discussed halacha, to put it mildly. Lamed Zayin.
Just clarify, is the psuch and the stuma at the beginning, the end of the paragraph, both, or is it about the relationship between the parshios in the tefillin? Is it applied to only the shayad or the shalosh?
It's a machloikis. Everything you asked about just now is a machloikis. And as far as the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, that's also a machlokes. Mishneh Berurah says it does not apply to the Shel Rosh. Others disagree. Halacha Lamed Zayin. Or habatim tzarech liyos me'or behema chaya v'oif tahirim afilu minevela utrefa oitrefa shalahem. So now we're done with Parshias. Till now, Halacha Aleph through Halacha Lamed Vav was discussing the Parshias. We are now shifting our focus from the Parshias to the batim. So we're starting from scratch. This is like ilu, a new discussion. Or habatim, the leather, the hides of the batim, tzarech liyos me'or behema chaya v'oif tahirim, they should be made from the hides of a behema chaya or oif, which is tahar, afilu minevela oitrefa shelahem. It just has to be a kosher species, like we said by the klaf, it doesn't have to actually be kosher to eat right now. Ureshoi lasis miklaf, I may ar shlil. It could be from an embryo as well. It doesn't have to be from an animal that walked the face of the earth. It could be if one shechts an animal and finds an embryo in the stomach of the behema or chaya, he can take the skin of the embryo and use that to make the batim. The same applies to the klaf and lamaisa. A number of achreinim say that al pi kabbalah this is actually preferable. V'chein haritzuas yachal la'asaisan miklaf, ritzuas also can be made from klaf va'or shlil, again from an embryo. All klaf today, by the way, is made from embryos. Just throw that in. There's enough of them going out. There's enough out there to supply all the klaf. The batim do not come from embryos, because batim we make from behema gasa. We want it to be very strong. We need thick, strong hides, so we don't use ar shlil. But for klaf, we actually do use ar shlil, which is, like I said, considered to be a hider by many. Tzara shiyeh ma'ubid l'shmoy has to be ma'ubid l'shmoy, hecha de'efshar. So when processing the hides, one takes the hides and one puts them into these lime baths, and one says, Hareini ma'abed oiris elu l'shem kedushas tefillin. Now, hecha de'efshar is a discussion. Why only hecha de'efshar? Does it have to be or does it not have to be? So the reason is because the Rambam holds that it does not have to be mu'ubid l'shma. The Rambam actually holds it doesn't have to be mu'ubid at all. Salamaisa was saying on that very, very bidiyevid, but Baruch Hashem today, I don't think it's really negeya. Halacha lamed ches. Yasa dalet batim me'or echad l'shel roish, ubayis echad l'shel yad. When making the shel yad, as we all know, the shel yad is divided into four compartments. Dalet batim means four compartments. Shel roish. Yes. Yasa dalet batim me'or echad l'shel roish. When creates the shel roish out of one skin, four compartments, right? So you take one skin and you shape it such that you have four compartments. Ubayis echad l'shel yad, and one compartment for the tefillin shel yad. Now comes perhaps the most well-known halacha of Hilchas Batim. Tefillin, ben shel roish, ben shel yad, halacha l'moish misinai, shehiu miru bois. Tefillin must be squared. B'tofron, uba alach sainan. What does that mean? Dehainu shehiu ribuan, mechuvan arkay kirachboy, kidei shehiu lehem oisai alach sain. She'amru chazal, kol amsa biribua, amsa utrechum shei ba'alach sainan. What that means is that if you have a square, so we want it to be perfectly squared. How do you know that it's perfectly squared? That the diagonals of the X within the square are equal, right? If you're going to have one part of the X at a certain length, at the second part of the X at a different length, then by definition, you have to not have a perfect square. Also, Chazal laid down a rule that every amma, okay, meaning every unit of measurement in a square, right, is amsa v'trei chumshi, is 1.2 in the diagonal. So for every one in the square, 1.4, I'm sorry, correct, I apologize, thank you, 1.4, right? For every one unit in the square, you have 1.4 in the diagonal. Now, we'll just mention very quickly that this 1.4 is not meduyak. It's not 1.4, it's a little bit off of 1.4, and that's the shayrish of what the Paiskim say, that the ribua of the tefillin also could be off a mashahu, because the amsa v'trei chumshi itself is not meduyak. So the idea is, all the Paiskim say, again, we'll just mention very quickly, halacha l'maisa, all the achrayinim, all contemporary Paiskim agree that the shear of the ribua is when you look at the batim, if they look square, okay? You don't need a caliper to measure it to the hundredth of a millimeter to ensure that it's square. L'maisa, that is what we do, and it happens to be that many people, when they look at the batim, cannot determine if it's really square or not. So it's difficult to rely on a typical viewing of a person who really has no way of measuring if it's a proper square or not. But l'maisa, the point is, most places can say, again, very briefly, that as long as it's less than 1 or 2% of a stia, what's the English word for a stia? If the deviation, thank you, right? If it's a deviation of less than 1 or 2%, in the square, so then it's still going to be kosher. V'tzarech l'rabeya mokay meishavan, the v'gam habatim. What that means is the mokay meishavan is the titura, right? We discussed that the tefillin are comprised of three elements: the base, the tower, and the back part, which has the tunnel that the ritzua runs through. The name of each of those, as we mentioned, the part that the ritzua runs through is called the ma'abarta. It's a ma'avar, it's a tunnel that the ritzua runs through. The base of the tefillin is called the titura, and the tower is called the ktsitsa. So he's saying that what has to be square over here? So he says, you know what has to be square? What has to be square is the v'tzarech l'rabeya mokay mashavan, the titura, the gam habatim, as well as the tower. Okay? Now, also, he said before, earlier, sheyu merubois b'tofran u'ba'alach sainan. The tefira also has to be meruba. There are three shittas in the Rishonim of what has to be square: the stitching, the base, or the tower. And l'maisa, we paskin like all three. And halacha l'maisa, all three need to be square. So people very often are nervous about the corners of their bias, that maybe it's not square, and so on and so forth. L'maisa, the stitching also has to be square. There are more parts of the batim that have to be square that people are not really that conscious of. Says the Rama, Aval goiva habatim, when it comes to the height of the batim, ein lahakbidim hu yoyser mirachban ba'arkan, meaning one does not need a cube, right? The height of the batim does not have to be the same as the width and the length, the height can be taller or shorter. And indeed, sometimes you see people whose tefillin are significantly taller. It's not so common to find shorter, but it's very common to find taller than the width or the length. What about a very common case? When they were made, they were perfectly squared, right? But as time went on, the ribua became niskalkel. Yesh mishayimer shetzarech lirabon. Right? Now this is common by the shel rosh, because the shel rosh is four compartments, and very often over time, since it's leather, so those four compartments, assuming they're not glued together, right, they're going to start opening up sometimes. So that's what he's talking about. I mean, it could be talking about anything. It could be that you drop them and it lost the ribua also. There's a million different ways that it could be miskalkel haribua. But a natural way of losing the ribua without anything actually happening to the tefillin is that the shel rosh, the compartments of the shel rosh, start to separate. So yesh mishaimer, there are those that say, shetzarech lirabon. Now, this is an interesting lashon, because who argues? Yesh mishaimer is mashma, somebody argues. Says the Mishnah Berurah, nobody argues. There is no other shita, and sometimes the Mechaber uses the lashon of yesh mishaimer when it's a chiddush din. Okay, so he saw it in one rishon that says it, so he says yesh mishaimer, but it's not the pshat that there's a machlokes. So lemaisa, this is how we paskin. If somebody's tefillin are opening up and there's a problem with the ribua, so he certainly should get it fixed. And like we said, sometimes a person drops the tefillin. There are different ways that the ribua can get lost over time. Although the most common thing that people are worried about, which is the corners getting rubbed out, usually is not really that problematic. But it's a nice thing if they are as square as possible. But people generally are the most nervous about the least problematic issue. Hagah v'yasa kol hadalet batim b'shava shelo yehe echad gadol mechaveret. The four compartments of the shel rosh ideally should be a similar size. In other words, you technically, what the din of ribua is that you need the overall square, right? These four compartments together are comprising a square. So let's say each compartment is a millimeter. So you have a total width of 4 millimeters. So you want a width and a length of 4 millimeters total. So that means each bias is 4 by 1. Okay? So what about if I have one is 0.6, the other one is 1.4. And again, it's becoming a total of 4, right? So that would be okay. So he's saying, but ideally, you should have each compartment an even amount, right? Or close to even, right? That's the idea. This is a Zekeli Vanveyu issue. In other words, again, very quickly, Me'ikir Hadin, all I need is that the four compartments together form a perfect square. The Mechaber is saying that it would be nice if each of the four compartments is the same size. That's the point over here. Mem, Or HaBatim Mitzvah La'asoy Say Shochar. The Batim Mitzvah La'asoy Say Shochar. It's a mitzvah for it to be black. So now the big question is, what does that mean? Does it have to be black or does it not have to be black, right? The Mishnah Berurah says, Mashma de b'di'evid eine li'ikuva. Others say that it is li'ikuva. The bottom line is, surprisingly, it's a machlekes, and we try and have it as black as possible. Me'ikir adin, though, there is room to be makel, even if the batim are not quite 100% black. Charitz, again, if somebody sees that his batim are not black, he certainly should paint it, because mitzvah la'asay say shachar. But the point is that if somebody noticed that his batim are missing black in a few spots, he doesn't have to be nervous that he wasn't yaitz of the mitzvah. He should correct it for the future, but for the past, there's certainly plenty to rely on. Charitz shebein bayis labayis, tzar shiyagia ad hatefer. What that means is that when you have four compartments of a shel rosh, right, so you have a charitz, right, a separation. Divider, groove. Thank you. Groove is the best word, right? So if you have four compartments, so there's a groove between each of the four compartments, delineating their areas, right? That's just the natural consequence of having four separate things. So that groove should extend vertically all the way down till the base. Charitz shebein bayis labayis tzarech sheyagia ad hatefer. The reason it's called ad hatefer is because the stitching is in the base. So it has to extend downward until the base. V'imloi higia, but if the groove does not extend all the way down until the stitching, kshera, it's still going to be kosher. V'hu sheyia nikar hacharitz, provided that the groove is recognizable, kedei sheyiu dalid rasheha nirin lakol, which means that I need at least the tap to be recognizable as four separate batim. When I look at the batim from an angle, looking down at them, right, so I have to see at least on the top that there's a groove separating and delineating four separate compartments, right? Now, if that groove is not nicker all the way until the base, it's not going to be ma'akiv. It should be nicker until the base, but if it's not nicker until the base, it's not ma'akiv. As long as the taps of the bird's eye view, you'll have a hecker that we're dealing with four compartments and not one, because I need to know that this is my shell roish, which has four compartments, as opposed to my shell yad, which has only one compartment. Mem aleph, arech v'reich v'abatim v'goyven ein lo shir. You can make your tefillin whatever size you want. You can have these big chabad tefillin, you can have the little, you know, sfaradi makobol tefillin, whatever size works for you, you're allowed to do. Now, the Paiskim say it's actually not so poshut. There are Paiskim that hold that there is a minimum size. There are Paiskim that hold that there is an ideal size. The ones that say that there's an ideal size say it's two etzbais, which is happens to be, amazing coincidence, the standard size of tefillin today is two etzbais, right? Which is 5 millimeters according to the 50 millimeters. 5 centimeters according to the Chazon Ish. That's the standard size of the base of tefillin today because it conforms to the shear of two etzba'is. There are achrenim that say that the tefillin should not be less than an etzba, right? So those little teeny tiny tefillin generally are more than an etzba. The super duper tiny ones are less than an etzba. Again, according to the Mechaber, it's kosher. There are achrenim that say that that's problematic. And obviously, as we mentioned previously, the larger the tefillin are, the more difficult it is to fit them into the correct spot. So even though there's no shear and you can make the tefillin as large as you want, but lamaisa, one also has to be careful that he's not losing the mitzvah and has it in the correct spot. Membeis, shin shel tefillin halacha lamaisa misina shiyase ba'or habatim shel roish. I'm sorry, shiyase ba'or habatim. Shel Roish, Kimin Shin Boiletes Mikmote Ha'or, Echad Miyaminoi, Ve'echad Mismoile. The shin on the Bayis Shel Roish, which we're all familiar with, has to be made from the folds. It has to be protruding and created from the folds of the Bayis Shel Roish. In earlier times, when the batim were made from dakais, right, from smaller animals like sheep, so it was much easier to do this. You could do this with tweezers or with a plier. You can just pinch the leather and create the form of a shin, and that's how they used to do it. Today, that we have batim made from or behema gasa, from cows, so it's much more complicated and difficult to perform and achieve this feat. How they do it is impossible to discuss right now, but lamaisa, it has to be created from the leather itself, it has to protrude, and it has to be done, according to most paiskim, in a way that's considered to be ksiva, rather than chakika. We discussed in a previous year the gedarim of ksiva and chakika, so that would apply over here as well, according to most paiskim, and it's quite a challenge, to say the least. Shel yamin hameniach shel gimel roshim, the shin on the right side of the wearer should have three heads. Shel smol hameniach arba roshim, you may have noticed, right, that on either side is a shin. One has three heads, and one has four heads. One represents, there are different pshatim, why three and why four. Some say it represents the ksav of the luchas, because the ksav of the luchas, you look in the Bir Halacha, you'll see. But lamaisa, the four one, some say represents the ksav of the luchas, and shin represents standard ksav. Hago, miuim, hipech, ena nifsal. If one finds the shin with three on the left and the shin with four on the right, it's not going to be a psul. As a practical matter, you're going to have a hard time selling such a thing because people want something normal, not something done incorrectly. But lamaisa, it's kosher and it could be used for a gemach or it could be given to somebody perhaps who wouldn't wear tefillin otherwise. At least they should have a pair of tefillin. But saleable, it's not really that saleable.
You ever see it?